Kind of.
Is that on?
Yours is not. Are we good? Okay, good. I understand we're on.
The red is on.
So.
Ringo, red stop. Guess not. Okay.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is the March 21st, 2019 Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting. And Andrea, if you could call the roll and call us to order.
Chairman Gehring.
I'm here. Thank you.
Vice Chair Barnett.
Here.
Member Lance.
Here.
Member Guthrie.
Here.
And Member Gibson.
Here.
Okay, thank you for that. Public comment. Is there anyone from the public who has any comment on anything that's not on the agenda? If so, please step forward. Seeing none, anybody else have any comment on anything that's not on the agenda? Not hearing anything. How about the meeting minutes? Anybody have any comments, corrections, or changes to the meeting minutes?
No, I don't.
No.
Thank you. Shirley, anything?
No.
Okay, thank you. So looking for a motion to approve then.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All right, we got a motion to approve and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Okay, operations report. Who's going to do that? Are you going to do that, Jill, or is that Andrew?
I'll do the daily operations report, and then Jill will get into the monthly.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So, as of today, March 21st, the Lopez Lake elevation was 495.88 feet. The storage is 28,551 acre feet. We're at 58% capacity. The rainfall to date since July 1st is 26.04 inches. Plant production is 3.0 million gallons per day. The state water is 0.7 million gallons per day. And the downstream release is 1.9 million gallons per day.
Okay, thank you for that.
Thank
Jill,
you.
Are you going to come up now? All right.
Yes. Hi, Jill Ogren. County Public Works Utilities Division. why don't we take a look here at the sheets that have the Lopez monthly operations report for January and February? And probably let's look at the February one first, since that's the most up to date. Our production has been, you know, probably in the lower end because of all the rain. So in February, they used the total deliveries were 350 acre feet for February, which was slightly up from January, which was about 320. As of February, three of the agencies are on target to use all their entitlement. Several, Oceano and PISMO have actually already started to use surplus water. And I would anticipate that by the end of the year, Grover Beach will also have used all their entitlement. So that's just sort of a interesting fact, nothing not important other than that. Our downstream releases are at, for a year-to-date of 3,600, and the maximum that we can release is 4,200. So we are still releasing a minimum amount of water downstream at what is 1.9 million gallons per day, and that's to satisfy some environmental mitigation downstream right about the Rodriguez Bridge. And let's see. Any questions, though, on the January and February, the monthly operations report?
Anybody?
No.
I'm not seeing anything.
Okay. Let's take a look, then, at the projected reservoir levels. And that's your chart here with the graph. It's a good sign for the first time in a long time. You'll note that the green line, which is our actual storage, is finally above our orange line, which is predicted storage. And that's generally because if you look down at rainfall, the predicted rainfall was much less than what we actually got. We almost doubled our rainfall, the rainfall prediction. So that's good news. We are still, I think, as of this report, we were at about 56% capacity. So we'd like to be a little higher, obviously, but still much better than what we thought. And it's still trickling in, and of course the watershed is saturated. So anytime it rains, we can expect to get some runoff from that, and hopefully, you know, start getting that reservoir up. It would be good if we were probably around 31,000 acre feet, which is about 60 some percent. Mm-hmm. That would probably be ideal. That's about 2 years worth of water, and from a water planning standpoint, that would make us all feel a lot more comfortable. Let's see. Any questions?
Jill, can you just repeat that? 2 years worth of water would be
around 31,000.
Okay.
Before we would have to, it's about 2 years worth of water before we would have to enter potentially back into the LRRP.
Not till it was all gone.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Not yet. Yeah, definitely not till it's all gone.
Okay. Thank you for that. And then are all the other reservoirs full in the county?
They're all close. Salinas Reservoir is spilling, obviously. Okay. Nacimiento is probably, I think I haven't checked recently, is it 70? It might be up at 75, something like that, and Whale Rock's equally well above 50. Most of them are well above 50, I will say that.
Okay. So, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. And I should probably note that I've actually had a number of inquiries as to why our particular reservoir is not is not gaining in elevation, and I just want to be clear for the record that it is not because we're releasing 1.9 million gallons per day, because that is pretty much a drop in the bucket in the big picture of things. It probably has more to do with watershed characteristics, which can be your soil types, it can be slopes, And if you look at just the overall rainfall coming this way, it just seems to separate right around Rio Grande. Either everything north of us is getting water or everything south of us. So it just happens to be the way the weather pattern is working this year. That's all I have. Any questions?
Questions for Jill. Anybody?
No.
I'm not seeing anything. No. Okay, well, thank you, Jill. All right. Climate update. I think that's Andrea.
Yes. And as I stated earlier, I do not have slides tonight, so we'll just be looking at the agenda packet starting on page 9. So according to the U.S. Drought Monitor, and as we've all heard lately, we are not in a drought at the moment. I was looking through previous years while I was preparing this report, and I've been your secretary to your committee for nearly 5 years, and this is the first time that our county has not experienced a drought situation. I printed this map just over a week ago, and I think since then I saw some data that said all of California is out of a drought, so I think those abnormally dry areas that we see up in Northern California and Southern California are now normal conditions, no droughts. But I hesitate to get too excited because we know how things go with the cycle, and I don't want to give the wrong message that we should no longer conserve water. Moving on to the next page, according to NOAA, the temperature forecast for the month of March is about 40% below average for this time of the year. And when we met in January, we were about 40% above average for the month of January. And for the precipitation forecast, we're about 50% above average for this time of the year, as opposed to January when we were still above average. We were about 40% above average. Any questions I can answer regarding those maps? Okay.
I'm not seeing any. No? Okay, thank you, Andrea.
Thank you.
And second quarter budget update, Christy.
Hello. Christy Smith, County Public Works Finance. This is the second quarter budget status report for fiscal year 18-19. The report's for July 1st through December 31st, 2018. At the end of the second quarter, total expenses were 34% of the annual budget. In your packets, there are three graphs illustrating the budget versus the actual expenses. The first graph displays routine O&M. Expenses were 45% of the budget, leaving $2.1 million available for the rest of the year. The second graph displays non-routine O&M. Expenses were only 16% of the budget, leaving about $643,000 for the rest of the year. Roughly half of that is for the HCP efforts. Most of the efforts in this category will have any of their unspent budget carried into the following year, but we've already had a couple of efforts that have been completed and that have savings. So those we can talk about at the next meeting, but they will be credited back to the agencies during the 18-19 true-up. The third graph displays capital outlay. Expenses were essentially zero, leaving practically the entire budget of $752,000 available for the remaining part of the year. Roughly a third of the budget has been carried forward from the prior year for many of the projects. As in the previous category, several efforts have already been completed, and those savings will be credited back during the true-up. So, and again, we'll talk about that in more detail at the next meeting. All agencies are current on their payments. This concludes my report. Any questions?
Okay. Questions for Christy?
No. Nope.
All right.
Sounds good if you're saving money, so
thank you. You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Lopez Spillway.
Yes.
I think that's Jill.
That's Jill.
That's me.
All right. So just quickly, the Lopez Spillway assessment update is that, as you recall, we were required by DSOD to do a spillway assessment. We hired a consultant. He did a report. We received the draft report. We made some comments. We've given it back to the consultant to make those changes. And then that report, which has like an action plan as part of it, will go to DSOD, and they'll either approve our action plan or tell us otherwise. The current action plan suggests that we do some what we call destructive testing, which is where you actually maybe we need to do some coring of the physical spillway. Up to this point, it was all done visually or based on plans and specifications of work that was done as part of the seismic retrofit. We have a plan, an action plan, and we're waiting. We'll be sending that to DSOD probably the end of next week, and then it'll be in their ball court to review it and then let us know. And if they approve our action plan, we'll move forward with whatever the cost, figuring out the funding to do this destructive testing and get estimates together on what that's going to cost. So at the moment, it's not included in the 19-20 budget because it's just sort of a big question mark. We really are not sure at this time, but we will definitely come back and we'll be having those discussions about if the costs are very large, how are we going to go about funding this, et cetera. So that's where we are with the Lopez Spillway assessment.
DSOD, I mean DOSD, I'm sorry, I don't know all the acronyms.
Division. Yes. Uh-huh. Safety of Dams.
Okay.
Yeah. DSOD. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's the division of the Department of Water Resources.
Yes.
And then Jill, so the action plan that the county's prepared is on the testing. Is that what it is?
It's kind of what I would call the next steps.
Okay.
So we did the non-destructive where we couldn't take
visual.
Any right.
Okay.
And so now this action, the next steps or the action plan is to do some destructive testing.
Okay.
And it might some of it may be like flushing some of the under drains, videoing the under drains. Not everything is, has to do with like actually coring and that kind of thing.
It's just more
it's just
of a
another
physical
layer.
It's more physical testing.
Exactly.
Okay. And that, so the action plan is going to DSOD next week, and then we'll hear back from them?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just not sure when on that part.
Okay. Thank you.
Just have a quick question. So is this something that is going to be a standard since there, you know, was an issue a few years ago with the spillway? Is this going to be a, is this your testing and thing is to verify that this is safe and in, or is they found vulnerabilities in certain areas? I remember there was a report on that, and that's to specifically address that portion that there was a question about?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. There are some, as you said, vulnerabilities that we are aware of, and things that they, that the consultant pointed out. And so in order to put some of those issues to bed and just like mark them off the list, we have to do this next layer. Now, if we do this next, you know, round of testing, and it shows that we do have some deficiency, that will start another action plan, which will, you know, and then that would be another plan that the Division of Safety of Dams would have to approve. So, yeah.
So just as additional background, we did some major spillway repair work in the very early 2000s and repaired a number of defects that were noticed at that time. But then in the very wet water year of 16-17, the Oroville Dam spillway nearly catastrophically failed. And that, so that spurred the Division of Safety of Dams to get after basically everybody in the state who has a dam that has a spillway to take a look at those spillways and see if there were anything that needed to be addressed. And it turns out that there has been a couple of things that have turned up in spite of the work we did 20 odd years ago. So it's worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of that, and some of that is because of the way that Oroville failed. That was, it's something that they've gone, oh, so some of these spillways are susceptible to this kind of damage. And that might not have been something that was necessarily thought about back when. So anyways, now they're asking everyone to make sure that their dams are safe for these types of events and these kinds of failures. But that's where we're at with that. Any other questions?
Now, just as maybe a little bit more background on that, all these spillways have what are called under drains under them. To, in case a little bit of water gets under the spillway, it could escape without causing pressure. But if water gets into those under drains from high up in the spillway, and a lot of water gets into the under drains, at Oroville as an example, that dam's about 700 feet high. So you could have 700 feet of waterhead pushing on the bottom part of the spillway if something plugged up. Mm-hmm. And that's, in round numbers, around 300 pounds per square inch. Mm-hmm. That'll lift a lot of concrete. So it does need to be looked at. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Any other questions?
No.
Thank you, Jill.
And excuse me, before we move on to the next item, I wanted to make sure that all of the members have the updated report from David Spiegel.
Should have.
It's the water quality and algae control recommendation. Okay.
So I wanted to bring, this is kind of an informational topic. It's probably going to come back to you at a later date, but I just wanted to kind of introduce the topic so that it's not completely foreign when we bring it back, maybe in a couple, maybe at your next one, could even be at the August meeting. So what we've been doing, the Lopez Reservoir and the Terminal Reservoir have seasonal issues with algae growth, and that algae growth can then translate into taste and odor issues with the water. We currently treat it by, we have one aerator out there that, if you've ever seen, there's like a fountain of water coming out, and we treat it with, and we also treat the reservoir with copper sulfate, which is a typical substance that they use on reservoirs to control the growth of algae. We also use powder activated carbon, and that's something that we add into the, once the water leaves the terminal reservoir, comes into the water treatment plant, we will treat it with this powder activated carbon. And that's similar to what like a person might buy and put under their sink, just a simple carbon filter. And that helps get rid of a lot of the tastes and odor. But we decided to look into maybe some other options. The treatment with the carbon is a little problematic for us. We were looking at having to buy a whole new system because the one that we have isn't working. So that made us go, wow, do we really need to buy another carbon, or is there another way that we could maybe treat this? One of the things that prohibits or inhibits growth of algae is lack of sunlight. So we looked into, and that and oxygen. So one of the things we looked at was buying more aerators. And another one we looked at was using, they call them, there's a picture of them back here, those the balls. They're called armor balls. So the armor balls, basically all the balls sit next to each other, and it keeps the growth of the sunlight, you know, keeps the sunlight out and keeps the growth of algae down. Some reservoirs down in Southern California use them. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you know, now they're taking them out, and it's some they don't know what to do with them. And so, I mean, it does work, and it was fairly inexpensive, and I think it worked at the time. But what we also looked at and what we're recommending is what we call floating solar. And basically, the solar panels that you might see up on the ground and that anybody has their house, now they lay them down pretty much flat. It's not completely flat, but it takes a lot of the sunlight away from the reservoir. The plus on this is that not only would it help with our algae, but we can use it to generate energy to offset our energy costs at the water treatment plant. We are looking, one of the companies that we're dealing with is would offer it to us as a power purchase agreement. And what that works, what that means is that we agreed to purchase all our power, any power that is generated from the solar, from them. And that is at and we agree to a particular cost per kilowatt hour. The good thing on a power purchase agreement is we don't put a dime out for that solar. They come in, they put their equipment, they maintain it. We just agree to buy our energy from them. Mm-hmm. And any energy that we are short, we still have our contract with PG&E. So we would never be in a situation where we didn't have enough energy. The way that this one is looking like it would map out is we would probably put these floating solar over about an acre. And so the way that what will happen is we put about an acre, maybe up to 2 acres. You don't want all your energy needs to come from solar, because if for some reason we had too much, we actually generated more than we would be losing money. So we want to generate around, you know, 85% of our energy needs from the solar, and the other percentage, you let that kind of fluctuate with PG&E. And so the reason I'm bringing this up to you today is to let you know that we've been working on this, and we are getting close, but I will be coming back at some later date asking for Zone 3's endorsement of us taking a power purchase agreement to the Board of Supervisors for approval. So I wanted to let you know that this is something we're working on, and so when I come back, you'll kind of know the genesis of why we're coming to you with an endorsement for a power purchase agreement. The other good news that it could even be cheaper than what we are anticipating, and that this one company that we're working with may also be the company that is going to do the very same thing out at the Los Osos wastewater treatment plant mm-hmm. on some of their effluent ponds. So we might get like an economy of scale, mm-hmm. and so we could get the cost even lower. So it's really a great win-win for us. And I think we've looked at some of the research that it is fairly successful in terms of like reducing algae growth. So that that'll mean we won't have to buy as much, you know, and we may not have to use the copper sulfate. We may be able to use less powder activated carbon. You know, some of that we'll have to work out after we get this going. But we would have some kind of a term to this contract, and at that time, if we got through the contract, say it's 10 years or 15 years, and we were like, it was okay. It didn't really solve our problem. They just come in, take all their equipment, and they leave, and we're done. And we're not really out any capital. So anyways, that's we'll come to you at a later date. I don't have the agreement here or any of that for you to look at, but I just wanted you to know that that's what we are working on. Any questions about that?
I have one question and a comment.
Sure.
So I'm assuming that it's going to work a lot along the same lines as residential solars. They'll take care of the maintenance, or
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just think it's a real progressive, great idea to try. I think it's what you've told me so far. I think it's really great.
Good.
I just have a couple questions.
Uh huh.
So it would run in conjunction with what we're doing now. Maybe a We may be able to step back a little less on some of the other things that we're doing, but it'd be in addition to that, correct?
In terms of projects that we're doing, or in terms of energy?
Treatment of the, for the algae odor, right, and taste issues.
Yes, yes. Okay. We would hopefully do a lot less of what we're doing now,
okay,
to address it.
Scale back, uh-huh, as that shows it's promising.
Yeah.
Okay. And then my other question, and apologies, as this is my first Zone 3 meeting,
yeah,
but as far as the energy being used from this, I'm assuming that's just for the Lopez water treatment plant as far as, or where is that,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, it would offset any of our energy needs
for the treatment
related plant to the water treatment
plant. Okay.
Right.
Great. Thank
exactly
you.
And just one quick question. So I see the drawing,
mm-hmm,
of the floating solar panels, kind of the Google Earth.
Yeah.
So is that kind of where they would be and that's what they would cover? So it's not a huge area.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this illustration, so the surface area of the terminal reservoir is about 4 acres.
Okay.
So this would represent probably 1 acre, and we obviously want to do it. We want them to be located near the intake.
Yeah.
And the intake is on that picture. You can see it's onto the left,
mm-hmm,
and it's like a little white line and a little something coming out of the water. That's the intake structure.
Okay.
So that's where we want to reduce the algae.
Yeah. I think this is exciting because you don't have to possibly, when we get the energy, and then you don't have to use the treatment, the chemicals that we're using, or, mm-hmm, you know, so I think this is awesome if it works. Exciting.
Yeah. We're excited.
I have one question.
Yes.
As far as the energy needs, you're saying that 85% hopefully would come from solar, and then the balance 15% from PG&E?
About that, yeah.
About that. Okay, great. Yeah, interesting idea. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Jill, do we anticipate this is going to be a net metering system? Where?
What is that?
Oh.
I'm not sure what that means.
Okay. We don't have the contracts yet to look at, and TAC will be interested in looking at those also. But for instance, in my case, I got solar at my house. Mm-hmm. It's freestanding like this. And most days it produces more power than we use, mm-hmm, and spins our meter backwards. And then at night, the meter goes the other way. And the net result over 12 months is that we don't have a power bill.
But the company will be, you'll be buying power from the solar company.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And the reason that we would design these, or they will design them to meet about 85% of our needs, is for the reason that he's talking about, that there shouldn't be times that we have too much, that you don't want to go to this where we have too much, because the energy does not go onto the grid. It would just be energy lost, right? We'd have more energy than the treatment plant needs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason why the panels and the square footage that we would put over the reservoir is dictated by a percent of the energy we want to generate from that.
Interesting.
Okay. Everybody happy?
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Julie.
Chairman Gehring, just for educational purposes and because this is Member Lance's first meeting, you mentioned the TAC. Would you mind explaining what the TAC is?
So we have a technical advisory committee that's comprised of operators and public works superintendents and city engineers, directors of public works, and they meet every month and discuss these issues and hopefully bring some of those recommendations to this committee for discussion and approval, as the case may be. Anybody have a better explanation?
I think that's right. It's makes like sense. The water operators from the agencies who pay to receive Lopez water.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So are you here for the bi-monthly update also, Jill?
I'm
okay.
It.
Here we go.
I'll just keep standing here and waiting till.
Please go ahead.
Okay. So our bi-monthly update, that's located on page 18 of your package. This is just kind of for you, those of you who are new. Every bi-monthly, we run through a list of the current projects that are on the list to complete this year, and or some of the projects could be holdovers from last year if we were not able to complete them. At this point, since the January meeting, we really haven't done a lot. We've been, in terms of making progress on the projects, we've mostly been dealing with, we've made a little progress on the spillway assessment because we got their final report. In terms of the Lopez Dam and Terminal Dam hazard classification, we are making progress on that. We had the inundation maps completed by a consultant. We had to make some changes, and so we've had the consultant do that. We are now working to finish up the emergency action plans, and then we will bundle the whole thing up and send it off to DWR. This is another requirement that came out of the Oroville Dam, along with needing to do your spillway assessments. Everybody needed to have an emergency action plan, and it needed to be updated, and we all had to do updated inundation maps and all that. So we're working on that. I would I think we have until June to submit the inundation maps and our emergency action plans for their review. They're a little inundated themselves because all the agencies are being told to do this, so they're getting lots of them in. Let's see, we've done our structural assessment of Terminal Reservoir. We did a similar where we did what we call almost like a desktop analysis, and then we realized we didn't have any actual physical evidence because there were no core reports or geological reports at the time that the terminal dam was built. We have definitely all that on the main dam, but we could not find anything for the terminal reservoir. So in 1920, we budgeted some money to go out and do physical cores to help us kind of really fine-tune that analysis. The fault zone assessment, we had some erosion above the road on the left abutment. And so we went and did an assessment of what exactly was happening there. Turns out that there's a lot of, there's some material up there that in an earthquake, a significant earthquake could come down. And so whether that is, what TAC would like to do is now take a risk assessment to sign, like what is the risk of this happening and what would happen if it did? Is it gonna impact our, is it going to impact the left abutment? What could happen and how risky is it? We've had it. It's been this way for a number of years. We're just needing to take another look at it. It's a big ticket item to potentially fix it if it comes out that it's, you know, a high risk item for us. If it's low risk, then we may choose to not do anything. well, we just have to kind of take the next step. So that risk assessment is budgeted for next year. So no progress on that at this point. Let's see. We haven't done any work on the equipment storage. Kind of too wet to be working down that, and it's a little bit of a low priority item. We do have some repairs that need to be done to the domestic and fire flow tanks, and we had a consultant prepare a report on what was wrong with both of them, and then we got estimates to fix them, and then that was very expensive, so we decided we would find out how much fire flow do we actually need, because that the tanks were there before we did the water treatment plant, the upgrade. So we needed to find out if possibly maybe we needed more fire flow, maybe we needed less. We have the draft of that report, and so right now we're still reviewing it and figuring out what maybe some of our options are. So more on that, but that's about where we're at. The membrane feed pumps, there's some other work at the plant that they would like to do, so they may do a plant shutdown for a couple days or something of that order. And at that time, they'll do the pumps, and they'll do some of the other work that they're needing to get done. And then the leach field, we're just still working on getting quotes to fix that. And that is about all we have right there.
So questions for Jill on that?
Uh-uh. No.
Probably more than you needed to know, right? You're like, a what?
Just maybe a little bit of background on the... on the terminal reservoir dam. Back in the mid-1990s, we did a study on Lopez Dam, main dam itself, and discovered that the dam itself has a watertight core that was built clear down to bedrock. But the upstream and downstream slopes of Lopez Dam were laid on top of the old creek bed. And it turned out that the old creek bed was not very compact, and it was saturated with water, mm-hmm. and that if an earthquake shook it, it could liquefy, and that could potentially fail the dam. So at that time, in the early 2000s, we did a $30 million project to strengthen Lopez Dam, mm-hmm. but we didn't look at the terminal reservoir dam, and we're doing that now.
Yeah.
So, any questions? Nope. Moving on. Okay.
Okay, next Christy will be presenting the budget, and she has a presentation that I will help facilitate.
Before I start my presentation, does anybody need a copy of the budget book? Yeah, I figured you might.
Thank you. Unless you need
extra.
It.
No, okay. I have a few extras. So if anybody does need some for their agencies, let me know. I have a couple more. Okay. All right, so I'm here to present the 2019-20 proposed budget. We're going to do a quick little review, and go ahead and go to the next slide for me, please. Sorry. So we're going to do a little review of the budget review process, and then look at the proposed 19-20 budget and have any questions, see if I can answer them for you here. So, all right, our budget review process. I touched on this, I think, at our last meeting, but the process usually starts in the fall, late fall, and by December, January. The non-routine and capital outlay projects have been identified and prioritized with the TAC. And in January, I came to you and distributed the budget to both the advisory committee and the technical advisory committee. In February, I met with the finance committees from each, so the finance folks from each of the agencies, and we discussed and reviewed the proposed budget. And I'm here tonight to hopefully get your endorsement. And in June, it will go to the Board of Supervisors for review and approval. Okay. All right, our overview. This is a summary of the variance discussion that's at the beginning of your budget book. So this is just a recap. The overall billings will increase 3.1% from the prior year's budget. The routine O&M is going down slightly, 2.5%. The decrease, it's due to a reduction in the budgeted hours for the utility division. We were able to reduce the budgeted number of hours so they more closely aligned with what was actually being charged to that area. The non-routine O&M and capital outlay, It's a little scary. It's going up 54%. That sounds horrible, but it's not too bad. Over the last decade, if you look at both of these categories combined, the budget is about $750,000. This year, we've included $300,000 for cloud seeding effort, but if we had taken that out, that's not really a normal thing that we have included before. This year, the combination of non-routine O&M and capital would be $686,000. So we're still in a good ballpark. We've just added that cloud seeding effort in this year. We budgeted $15,000 for the contractor-funded reserves. The TAC did suggest that up to $110,000 of savings from the cloud seeding effort could be used to increase the contractor-funded reserves. That $300,000 for cloud seeding, we have no idea if we're going to use all of that in 1920, so it was suggested that potential savings could be used to bulk up your contractor-funded reserves. So the debt service, it went down slightly, almost a percentage. The debt service cost should be about level until they're paid off in 2030 or we decide to refinance. So, all right. Now, if anybody needs a close-up of this chart, I have some handouts. Does anybody want one? Okay. Sometimes it's hard to read all those numbers. This is just a chart that shows the labor hours for the O&M. The hours have been decreasing since the startup of the water treatment plant in 2007-2008. But then they rose again in 2016-17 and in 17-18. In 2016-17, the operations staff were battling all the scaling of the equipment that we had out there, that pH imbalance. So we had increased labor. In 17-18, we removed the wastewater duties from the staff out there. They were splitting their time between the Lopez Water Treatment Plant and some other systems. So they became full-time water duties, and so we saw an increase in their hours out at the plant. 18-19, I went ahead and annualized to see where we think we might end up the year. It looks like we're going to be decreasing our number of hours, and that's because we've had several staff this year take extended leaves due to health issues or family leave. So we've just had not as many hours being spent out there this year. So next slide. That is the end of my short presentation. I'm hoping to get your endorsement for the proposed 2019-20 budget. Any questions?
No.
Okay.
I would mention that the TAC has looked at this and had no substantive questions. Okay.
Yeah.
So if there are no questions or concerns, we're looking for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
And a roll call.
Yes. Chairman Gehring?
Yes.
Vice Chair Barnidge?
Yes.
Member Lance?
I will abstain.
Member Guthrie?
Yes.
And Member Gibson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, surplus.
And we have an updated staff report for this item as well. I believe you all received it.
Yeah, I apologize for all these last minute things. I probably should not be approving agendas on like Thursday late evening when all I can think about is Friday. So I this one's on me. Good news is that there wasn't really anything major. I just noticed that some of the numbers were wrong in the chart down there about surplus water, and I just didn't want that to go out. Every year we, per the contracts, we are to declare surplus water for Zone 3. Although the term is surplus water, it's really not extra water. What it is the difference between what the agencies are entitled versus what they used, and also the difference between the downstream releases of 4,200 acre feet and what was actually released downstream. So if you're looking at the board paper in front of you, you can see if you go to the very first column where it says entitlement and look at the bold numbers. If you add up all the agencies' entitlement, it's 4,530 acre feet. This year, the amount of entitlement that was delivered, you can see, was 4,436. I have the wrong number.
You got the wrong sheet, Jill. You need the updated sheet.
There's extra right here. There's a whole, there's like Jill. Four over here.
Oh, there are.
Oh, gosh. I literally froze there. I went, that's still wrong. I've looked at this three times. Are you kidding?
Okay. Not on TV. It's okay.
Okay. I'm all good. Yeah. Okay. So entitlement is still 4530, but you can see over entitlement delivered, it's 4,141. So that number, though, just to be clear, it does not represent any usage of surplus. It's strictly the amount of entitlement that was delivered. So you can see that three agencies used all their entitlement, and Arroyo Grande is close. And I should also qualify that these are estimates because obviously our water year here ends March 31st, and I don't actually have the numbers for March, but I think I did a fairly good job of estimating these numbers will be very close. So then you can go over to the third column, and it's just the difference between the entitlement and the entitlement delivered. And you sum that up. And so we had 389 acre feet of unused entitlement. And then below that is we had 397 acre feet of downstream releases that were not used. So per the contracts, we would add those two numbers together, and that's 786. And then we, per the contracts, we redivvy up all that water to each agency based on their contract amounts. So Rio Grande has 50% of the reservoir, so they get 50% of the 786. And then Christy determines an estimated cost for the surplus water. And that's based on what we think it's going to take to maintain the system next year. It's based on, and so that's the cost per acre foot for surplus water. And then it's offered to each agency at that price. And so for example, if a Rio Grande took all of their 397 acre feet, it would be worth $14,446. So that's how we do surplus water. And so this will go to the Board of Supervisors on May 14th, and they'll read, accept, and approve, and it will be so. And then all the surplus water will show up on the monthly operations report under the surplus water column as we move into the next water year. Any questions?
Questions.
Makes
Not
sense?
Easy.
No.
You know, this is a really important resource for agencies. Just as an example, the cost per acre foot is $36, a little over $36 an acre foot for surplus water. Amortized cost for well water is around $300 an acre foot. Mm-hmm. Cost for state water is around $1,200 an acre foot. Cost for Lopez, depending on where you are in the system, is in the neighborhood of $1,500 an acre foot. So surplus generally is used by the agencies to offset groundwater pumping, which is mm-hmm. beneficial all around. Yeah. So questions for Jill? Looking for an endorsement?
Yeah. I am looking, yes, for you to endorse these numbers and that we are going to take a number. It'll be slightly adjusted for actuals coming in March, but yes.
So the Public Works Director used to have authority to approve, not any longer?
No, as of in 2014, we determined that for a number of years, the surplus water had not been calculated properly, and so the Board of Supervisors declared that we needed to come to them each year for declaration after that. So we haven't gone back to them to see if if we could. And I'm fine with going to the board, especially over the last couple of years when it was during the drought. It was important for them mm-hmm. to know what kind of water supply we had, what we were doing with the low reservoir response plan. And this will be a consent agenda item. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of administrative.
Okay, oh. So I would move for approval of the surplus water numbers. Hold on.
We just endorse, right?
I will move for approval of the estimated surplus water for water year 19-20.
Mm-hmm. That works.
All right. Looking for a second.
I'll second.
Okay. And a roll call.
Yes. Chairman Gehring?
Yes.
Vice Chair Barnidge?
Yes.
Member Lance?
Yes.
Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Member Gibson?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries.
Okay. Andrea, do we have anything to talk about on future agenda items? We don't.
Nope.
Okay.
Unless there's anything new that you would like to add on there, we may have some more information regarding that easement request that we received in January across district property. That could be an item, but that would just be a brief informational update.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Committee member comments. Anybody have anything on their mind they'd like to discuss or tell us about? I'm not seeing anything.
No.
So I guess a motion to adjourn in that case.
So moved.
And so I'll second that. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Thank you.